Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. The NFL schedule's released tonight. Now let's get to a couple little nuggets. Todd Silverstein, Wisconsin Journal Sentinel, says the Packers will host the Seahawks in Week 2. Also within that report, Packers-Bears Thanksgiving. Patriots-Steelers, all but confirmed as the opener. The Steelers sans Le'Veon Bell. And maybe Antonio Brown. Let's see. Turkey Day tilt. Packers-Bears, I got that as well. There are 19 different Super Bowl matchups coming in the 2015 season. All right, so there we go.
So the hardest schedule?
Well, probably the one that plays the best teams. All right, so
that's deep analysis.
But you don't know.
No, I agree. But you know, that's what you're going to hear all the rest of the night tonight and tomorrow is who's got the hardest schedule.
Well, first of all, there's certain things that are givens. All the first place teams in the conference play each other. All the second place teams in the conference play each other. All the third place teams in the conference play each other. And all the fourth place teams in the conference play each other. That's how you get the schedules to balance out. That's how you see teams move from one spot to the next, because the way they schedule it, you are playing teams that are in the same spot in the standings as you were last year. That's how it works. So, now the Steelers won their division? No, Cincinnati won it, right?
No, I think Pittsburgh won the division.
Oh, that's why they would play the Patriots. That's why they're eligible to do it. Wow, all that talent and they got bounced that fast? Really? We're going to have Brandon Gouten on this half hour. On the show, as soon as Kevin finds his number.
San Francisco News, by the way, tweeting out that the 49ers have the hardest path to the playoffs.
Oh, you know, the big reason why they got 49. The hardest path to the playoffs? What are you talking about?
I'm just telling you what I'm reading.
Okay, we'd be the Jacksonville Jaguars. Look at their roster. That indicates the hardest path to the playoffs. Your roster, not who you play. My goodness sakes. Did you find his number?
Still waiting.
He tells me during the break, he says, I better call Brandon. I said, okay. He says, uh-oh. I said, uh-oh what? He says, I can't find his number. You lined him up. And everyone thinks that, for the most part, this is actually a well-oiled machine show. It really is. Well-oiled. But every once in a while, one of these little things comes up. You just have to sit back and laugh. Huh?
I brought us down.
No, but you have to laugh at it. I mean, come on. You can't laugh at it. Now, what have I taught you on this thing, if anything?
Hang on, I think I found it.
Oh, good. But, in other words, it's all right. Okay, when do I ever... Okay, let me ask some, just so people get a little insight into the show. All right? Name any time I've been mad at you. He left. He walked out.
No, Brandon got my message and called me.
Oh, good. Well, I said a little insight into the show. Well, name one time I've ever been mad at you.
I really can't. Even times you should be, you're not.
That's exactly right. Because, look, it's a family and it's a show, okay? Things happen, right? Things happen. It's all right. You can fill in the gaps. No panic. No, I mean, okay, we've done this. Well, we're in our fourth year of doing it, okay? I've never once even been remotely upset with you.
That is the first time I could not find a phone number when I wanted. Brandon, I'm telling you, you're in my phone somewhere. I just can't figure out where, Brandon, but I know you're in my phone. Not that it really matters to you, but I just wanted to tell you, it's nothing personal.
Brandon, the police now are interested because there are a lot of numbers in that phone that they're very interested in. Has to do with a lot of restraining orders. Well, how excited are you with the life-changing moment that Tim Tebow is going to be a Philadelphia Eagle, at least have a shot in camp?
Well, for me as a writer, I mean, it's probably just the best thing that could happen. This is any writer's dream. I mean, it's instant content. It's easy page views. It's really just amazing from that perspective.
Has this been about as amazing an offseason as you can think of with the Philadelphia Eagles?
Yeah, I would say so. I was doing an interview the other day, and someone asked me, you know, have you ever seen a good team go through this crazy of an offseason? And I said, I can't even think of any team, good or bad, that's gone through an offseason like this. So, yes, it's been insane.
All right, so let's break this down for a moment. Sam Bradford. Can Sam Bradford fit into what Chip wants to do?
No, that's the million-dollar question. I mean, the immediate reaction after they traded for him was kind of like, no, you know, like, why did Chip Kelly trade for, you know, Sam Bradford when he had Nick Foles, who wasn't a mobile guy, and now you have Bradford, who is not really, I mean, not mobile, but he's coming off these injuries, so that's even more concerning. And, you know, it's interesting because in college, Bradford did run the spread, Oklahoma. So he does have experience there. It's actually funny. I was reading a draft report, a scouting report on Marcus Mariota, who everyone's connecting to the Eagles, obviously. And one NFL Network analyst compared Mariota to Bradford as his pro comparison. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So, yeah, I think there's a shot that Bradford, you know, has the talent to do it, but it's really just it's all about, you know, can he even get on the field with the injury history he has?
If the Eagles were to somehow move and get Marcus Mariota, would you be surprised?
I would not be surprised at all at this point. I mean, I don't think there's anything they can do that will surprise me. But, yeah, this is the guy that Chip Kelly has said, you know, Marcus Mariota, he's like Peyton Manning. Marcus Mariota, that's a guy who's going to win multiple Super Bowls in the NFL. And if you have a head coach saying things like that about a guy like this, I mean, I just think that's really impressive. And I don't think that's just fluff. I think, you know, Chip Kelly really believes that. And I think they're willing to do what it takes to get him. The only holdup is that, you know, there might be other teams ahead of them who, you know, can take that out of the Eagles' control.
Everyone is going to obviously offer an opinion. That's what these shows do. Jay Feely, his quote was, Tim Tebow's the single worst quarterback I ever saw. He couldn't be air.
that's a strong indictment there. But, I don't know. Tebow obviously has been out of the league, so obviously not the best option. But, you know, there's some rumors going around that Chip Kelly kind of wants to use him as a short yardage quarterback, you know, a guy who they can put in, I guess, on third and one and kind of run for it. I think that's something that Tebow did excel at when he was in the NFL. I thought, you know, he was effective in the red zone as a rusher or in short yardage because he's a big guy, he's physical, not a guy who's going to run 20 yards down the field, but maybe just a guy who can get you what you need. But it's weird because do the Eagles really even need that? I mean, you signed DeMarco Murray and you signed Ryan Matthews in free agency, and you're paying them big bucks. So do you really need that specialist kind of guy? So it's kind of a weird dilemma there.
It is, because you're right. Murray and Matthews, that's a pretty good 1-2 punch. And you still have Sproles. Now, you wouldn't use him in short yardage, but mm-hmm. Sproles is still the best third down back in this league.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird decision. And I think it all stems from the fact that they're kind of just done with Matt Barkley at this point. They reportedly tried to trade him, didn't really get anything. Maybe something happens before the draft. But I really just think they're ready to move on from him. So I guess, you know, Chip Kelly's figuring, all right, well, we need to get another quarterback in here. And the free agent market isn't that great. So I guess they're just bringing in a guy because they feel like they can. And, you know, Tebow's really not guaranteed anything. Easily might not make a roster spot. I think he's the number three guy by default now just because they're not sold on Barkley. But if the Eagles draft a quarterback, you would figure, you know, he would be the number three guy, assuming it's not Marcus Mariota.
All right. They have not settled on what to do about the extra point. If they were to change it up on the extra point and put the ball at the one-yard line, it becomes a specialty play. Would Tebow then really be viewed as a specialist?
Yeah, that would be an interesting situation. You know, there is talk about that. And I think there would be some credence to that idea. And like I said, at least anecdotally, I always felt like Tebow, obviously not the best passer, but kind of more effective as a runner in that closed situation in a red zone like that. It sounds silly that we're talking about a red zone specialist quarterback, but maybe that's what happens with that new role. And maybe, you know, maybe they just give it a shot in preseason and see how it works. And if it doesn't really work out, then they can just cut him.
Exactly. They could just cut him. Maybe, you know, in fact, and all those people would buy all those Tebow jerseys. What the heck? And then just add it to their collection with all the other ones. Now, when you look, there's just been no shortage of stuff. Have you sat back and said, okay, look, we have to really condense what we're doing here because we have too many stories?
You know, it's almost been to that point where it's just like, I'll start writing something and then 50 other things pop up. I'll hop on them, and then it's another 50 things. It's been so insane that at this point, it's kind of just like, see something, get it as quick as you can, get it done, and then just get ready to move on to the next thing. I mean, we've had the Tebow stuff popping up on Sunday night, and that's really rolled into now. And then now tonight, we have the 2015 NFL schedule coming out, so there's no breathing room at all.
The Philadelphia fan base is a great, passionate fan base. But to your message boards, what's it been like with the reaction to Tim Tebow?
You know, there's a lot of strong opinions on both sides of the fence. We had a poll, you know, we had two polls. The first poll we had was, you know, do you think Tim Tebow is going to make the team? And I think 55% of about 3,000 voters decided that, you know, yeah, okay, we think Tim Tebow is going to make the team. And then we did another poll of, do you approve of the Eagles signing Tim Tebow? And that one didn't get as many votes. It only had 1,000. But that was 66% yes. So I was kind of a little surprised to see that the more people favor it than not. I think it's, again, just because it's really no guarantee. They can just cut them. So they figure, you know, there's really not a lot of risk here.
All right, here's your next poll question. Could Tim Tebow beat air?
Yeah, that'd be a funny one.
I'd put it out there just to have some fun with the base.
Oh, I think people would like that.
Hey, Brandon, thanks so much. Appreciate the time. And good news, bad news. The good news for us is that, you know, we found your number. The bad news is Kevin has it.
Oh, no.
You're in trouble now.
I'm always glad to be here.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it very much.
Take care.
Brandon Gotten, BleedingGreenNation.com, in the Kevin Herr address book.
Digital Rolodex,
which, by the way, is being examined by local authorities. On News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, John Facenda was from Philadelphia. Now, Tim Tebow's number would be 11 with the Eagles because he can't have 15.
Well, that's what we think it'll be.
Well, yeah, but he can't. I'll tell you what, it can't be. It can't be 15.
No.
Steve Van Buren had number 15 retired. And, you know, so he can't have 15. He can't have 40, 44. He can't have 60. He can't have 70. He can't have 92. And he can't have 99. He can't have number 5.
Well,
they're all retired.
I've seen two pictures right now from the Eagles website where it was 0. And now the one that they have up there that supposedly is selling quite quickly is 11. But then there's a little note underneath the jersey. It says, this is a special event item. Orders containing this item will be shipped separately. This item will ship within 2 to 4 weeks after the player number has been officially assigned by the team. So it may not be 11. I've never talked so much about a player number ever.
Oh, you're how wrong.
No, even I can't say
this stuff all the time.
Even I can't say I've talked about a player number this much.
I'm not for retiring numbers anyway. I'm for rings of honor.
Retiring numbers in football is not easy. I mean, you only have a finite amount of numbers at certain positions and so many players to fill them. I mean, it really gets tough, like, in the in August when you have all the guys on the roster.
Yeah. You only have 99 of them. And certain teams have retired a lot. I mean, the Giants and the Bears have retired numbers left and right. Now, take the Dallas Cowboys. You know, the Dallas Cowboys never retired a number. They do. They have the Ring of Honor. I agree with that. And with the Hall of Fame. Retiring a number, the reason I'm not for retiring numbers is quite simple. You might need it.
Right? Well, now, is there, in August in camp, do they bring out the retired numbers for the guys that probably won't make the team, and then if they do end up making the team, they switch it up in the regular season just to make sure they have enough jersey numbers?
No,
I mean, in college, some guys have the same number on offense and defense.
Yeah, there's duplicate numbers, and that happens.
I hate that. But
why? You can't figure out if they're playing offense or defense?
Honestly, I get confused and look at the wrong one.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, I guess that happens. Well, maybe you can get an 11 with his name on the back.
Well, that's what they're selling right now. I mean, it could be 11.
Well, that'd be great.
You know what I don't understand is I don't understand the big deal about the NFL schedule coming out. And, I mean, I understand why it's an event on the NFL Network, but we already know the teams they're playing. It's just the days we don't know when they're playing.
That's fine. I think it's cool. I think it's fun.
Okay. No, I'm just asking.
It's all right. I mean, that's been the big transition in this show. I'm now the fun guy, and you don't know how to play anymore. You go out with some bait and a hook, right? I then explain to you that maybe if you use a grenade, it's a quick process and you can move on. I mean, exploding the grenade is just as much fun. They put Kevin in this small room where it's very lonely. You okay?
I'm just thinking about that opening Thursday night game.
Why, you already worrying about it?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The NFL schedule gets released tonight. Meanwhile, Kevin continues to tool around town in a beautiful Sunbury Motors vehicle.
Yeah, this week we're featuring the 2015 Hyundai Sonata Hybrid with a fuel efficiency rating of 36 around town, 40 on the highway. I'm enjoying watching how this car recharges the battery. If you're in a certain zone of driving, it'll actually tell you if you're in a zone that will actually run the battery more, or the electric motor more than run the engine. It's kind of cool to see that and know how your driving will actually not only improve gas mileage, but also improve the efficiency of the car overall. And I'm told on this particular vehicle, although I will tell the folks at Sunbury Motors I have not tried the experiment to see, that it's not like your older versions of hybrids where after you get past 35, it automatically kicks over to the engine and that's all you run on. If everything is perfect, you can actually do in upwards of 65 and 70 miles an hour on the electric side of things. Best part, though, is with Hyundai, it is a lifetime warranty on the battery. So if your big fear is the battery and having to replace the battery, you don't have that fear with Hyundai. And you don't have that fear with the Sonata Hybrid, which right now you can get with 0% financing up to 72 months, plus cash back as well on certain finance options with the 2015 Hyundai Sonata. And this particular one that I'm driving this week that I'll post on Facebook and at Kevin Herr on Twitter is offering about $6,000 in discounts at Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury.
Impressive. Very impressive. So again, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Steve, one bit of sad news to pass along. Steve Burns, the longtime NASCAR on Fox announcer who started with them when they first got the series, he passed away today at the age of 56, lost his battle with cancer this afternoon.
Wow.
Was away for last week's Food City 500 at Bristol, which was renamed in honor of him. And even on the IndyCar circuit, they had the Penske team had a stand up to cancer in his honor, kind of a surprise to see it happen so quickly in his what was his second stint with cancer.
Wow, boy, hard. Awfully, awfully hard.
I did not meet him. I've run into him a few times, but didn't have a long time conversation in visits to Pocono over the years. But I know he was well liked on the circuit, and even before his health issues, no one had bad things to say about Steve Burns.
Right. So, okay, awfully tough. Okay, so 16 games spread over 17 weeks. And Kevin's already making plans to be in Foxborough for the opener on Thursday, September 3rd.
Listen, that early in the season is the only way I would go to Foxborough. It's too cold.
What do you think, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia are too...
No.
I mean, no offense, but Pittsburgh and Philadelphia are not in the banana belt.
No. I realize that. I'm well aware.
So we'll make sure you know that.
Yes.
Don't make it seem like Pittsburgh and Philadelphia are, suddenly out of nowhere are Miami Beach and San Diego.
Boy, I would go see the Steelers in Miami, though.
There you go. There you go. Like it. There you go. Yeah. All right. So the schedule is going to be released tonight. They're going to turn it into an event. And they'll release it at 8 o'clock tonight. And the Steelers will be playing the Patriots in Game 1 in Foxborough. Kevin says he would go because it's going to be nice in Foxborough that night, as opposed to going to Pittsburgh in December, where it's going to be balmy and warm because it's south of Foxborough.
I believe that's exactly what I said, but...
Well, you made it seem like you're going to the North Pole.
Listen, I've been at late-season Penn State games, and it's been brutal.
So have I, obviously. Yeah, I've been here where it's been brutal and it's been cold and whatever. But you know,
no, but you make it sound like I'm not going to a game because it's cold. That's what I'm saying. I've been to a few cold games in my life.
Yeah, look. Okay. You are to broadcasting what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are to the NFL. If the game's below 40, they don't really show up.
They have a really nice stadium and good weather there. Would you want to go north of the border?
I'm just telling you, that's what...
I mean, who else has a pirate ship?
Oh, I know. I've done two games in the stadium.
Sure you have.
I mean, come on, man. Come on. I mean, that's, yeah. But if it gets below 40 degrees, they don't show. And you know that. And that's you. It's got conditions. We have found out in this show that conditions have to be perfect for you.
Well, I don't deny that I can be
soft.
I can be a little fair weather at times.
Diva-ish.
It's harsh, but...
Harsh?
Not what do you mean inaccurate.
Harsh. That's kind of harsh. Oh, man. But, yeah, they've... We already knew the Steelers were playing the Patriots up there to begin with, but now it's going to be the opener. Now that would put a little more juice into the show, don't you think? Opening game, opening week. You have the Steelers on Thursday night, and then you'll. Then after that, we'll have high school football on that Friday night, and then Penn State will be at Temple.
That's true. This is the first time in a long time that both the college, high school, well, all three, college, high school, and NFL seasons start in the same weekend.
Now, this is what we know about the Steelers schedule, and then we'll get to the Eagles in a moment. The Ravens, Bengals, Browns will all be at Pittsburgh. So will Denver, so will Oakland, so will Indianapolis, so will Arizona, and so will the 49ers. The Steelers have to go on the road to Baltimore, Cincinnati, Cleveland, obviously, because they're playing the AFC West this year. They're at Kansas City and at San Diego, because the Patriots are a division champ. They will play them on the road. And because they're matched up against the NFC West, they will also have to go to St. Louis to play the Rams and play the Seattle Seahawks. So that's how the NFL schedule works. It works that you have your division home and away. You have one division in the AFC, two home, two away. One division in the NFC, two home, two away. And you must play the other three division champs. That's how it works. Simple, right? Don't you think?
Sounds that way to me.
Now the Eagles, this is what the Eagles will have this year. Now, obviously, within the division, we already know that the Eagles will be playing the Giants, the Redskins, and the Cowboys at home. And because they are matched up with the AFC South, they will get New Orleans and Tampa Bay at home. And because they're matched up with the AFC East, they'll get Buffalo and Miami at home. And because they ended up finishing second in the division, they will get the Arizona Cardinals at home. They'll have to go on the road to Dallas, the Giants, and the Redskins. And again, because they're matched up with the NFC South, they must play Atlanta and Carolina. And because they are matched up with the AFC East, they have to play New England and the Jets. Meanwhile, the other third-place team that they must play will be the Detroit Lions. And that will be an away game. See, isn't it easy? I mean, if you want to figure out who you're going to be playing, there's certain things you can figure out right away. You can always figure out on your team's schedule 9 games before any other. Because you know you're going to play everybody in your division twice, 6, and you know you're going to play the other teams in the same position in your conference where they finished. So you already know 9 games. The second the season's over, you know what 9 teams that you've got in your schedule for next year. Now it's a question is, who fills in the other spots? Who fills in the other 7 spots? I think I stunned you.
I'm just listening intently.
You didn't know this, did you?
I didn't realize there was a method other than rotating through divisions.
No, you must, yeah, you must play the teams that finished in your conference in the same spot you did. Now, it also coincides with the rest of the division. So, take, for example, I just mentioned the Eagles schedule. All right. Well, let's go back. In order to help you out, we'll do this in a Steelers sense, okay? All right. So, we already know, you already knew when the season ended that the Steelers would play home and aways with Baltimore, Cincinnati, Cleveland, correct? All right. So, now we're up to 6. They also had to play the first-place team in the other divisions. So Denver, Indianapolis, and New England. There's 9. You knew when the season ended those 9 games were going to be on the schedule. It's a question of the other 3 as to where. Now, it turns out that they're going to get the AFC West this year. So in addition to Denver, they also then add on 3 more teams, which, of course, will be Oakland, San Diego, and Kansas City. So that gets you to 12. Now you need 4 more teams. And those 4 come from the NFC. Well, in this case, the AFC North is going to face the NFC West. And it's going to be Arizona, San Francisco, Seattle, and the St. Louis Rams. That's how you build a schedule.
I feel like I've taken one of your classes.
Well, but that's how it's done. It's actually pretty easy, isn't it? It's not that complicated. So when you hear about a team's strength of schedule, let's take the Redskins. The Redskins finish last. Well, they automatically, by finishing last, think of this. They automatically get 4 other last place teams. 3 in their conference, plus the last place team in the AFC division they have to play. That's how they're able to get schedules to be ranked in whatever order. That's how they weight the schedule. You win your division, you must play the other divisional winners in your conference. You finish last in your division, you must play the three other last place teams in your conference. Plus, you'll play the last place team in the division of the opposite conference you're going to play, because you have to play all four of them anyway. Cool, isn't it? It is not that complicated. Now, how it's probably more complicated for them to put together as to what dates, where, when, and why, because you don't want a team on the road three consecutive weeks. Can't do it. How do I handle Thursday nights? Who do I put on Monday night? And the other schedule anomaly is every team in the NFL, all 32, must have a primetime game. That's where the scheduling difficulty comes in. Who you play is not that difficult. Okay? Who you play is not that difficult. That part is actually very easy to do. It's the order you play them in and the other scheduling elements that come into it. Every NFL team must have a primetime game. So between Thursday, Sunday night, and Monday night, all 32 teams appear. I mean, why do you think you end up with Jacksonville playing Tennessee? They're trying to get two of them out of the way on one night. And you're only allowed to play one Thursday unless you're the opening game of the year. New England and Pittsburgh are each eligible for a second Thursday night game, which they will each get. You know they will. CBS will demand it. The Steeler ratings are astronomical, and the Patriots are the Patriots. All right, we'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
It's a month-long luxury car celebration featuring the year's best deals on new and certified pre-owned Lincolns at Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Isn't it time you reward yourself with the best of American luxury? Sunbury Motors Lincoln is making that American luxury affordable with big discounts and no-interest finance deals. Celebration savings of over $4,600 on a new Lincoln MKC all-wheel drive, and take advantage of 0% for 48 months. Celebration savings of $5,000 on a new Lincoln MKS, and take advantage of 0% for 72 months. Buy a certified pre-owned 2013 Lincoln MKZ Hybrid with only 29,000 miles for only $26,493. And during this month-long celebration, take advantage of 1.9% for 72 months. It's a month-long celebration at your home for American luxury, Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Check out our inventory right now at sunburymotors.com. Financing with approved credit. All rebates to dealer. See dealer for complete details.
I'll take the Redskins now. We talked about the Redskins earlier. Now, they know they have to play the Cowboys, Giants, and Eagles twice each. So there's six games. All right? Now, as part of their last place schedule, they get the... the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They get them. And the Chicago Bears. And who's the other one? Is the St. Louis Rams. That's who they get on their last place schedule. So they get Tampa Bay, the Rams, and the Bears. And on top of that, you then add in the last place team in the AFC, of course, the New York Jets. So there's nine games right there that they're guaranteed. Now, it turns out that they're going to play the NFC South this year, so you combine in the Buccaneers with the Saints and then road games with the Falcons and Carolina Panthers. And then, of course, they're going to play the AFC East, which means you combine in that last-place game against the Jets along with the Patriots, the Bills, and the Dolphins. So the Redskins will have the Cowboys, Giants, Eagles at home, Saints at home, last-place Tampa Bay at home, last place, St. Louis at home, Buffalo, and Miami. They go on the road to Dallas, the Giants, Eagles, last place Atlanta, Carolina, last place Bears, Patriots, and last place Jets. Okay? There you go. Isn't it fun?
Well, it looks like it is all but a lock that the Thanksgiving night game, it appears, will be the Packers hosting the Bears. Some others leaking out. The Jets will open the season at home against Cleveland and finish with Buffalo.
And they have to play that game with the Dolphins in London, from what I understand. It's the first time a divisional game has been played in London.
The Giants' home opener will be week two with the Falcons.
Okay. Well, the Giants and the Jets have to alternate, so.
And let's see, the Bears will host the Vikings in week eight and play at TCF Bank Stadium in week 15.
Right. Well, that's with the University of Minnesota.
Is this the last year that they have to play there?
It's the last year they have to play there. I saw the stadium 7 weeks ago. They have made remarkable progress. $975 million dome stadium. They are ahead of schedule, but not enough to allow them to play this year. But they have one major problem with it. Part of the structure is glass, and the birds don't know it.
Oh, boy.
And so the Audubon Society has been trying to fight them, and they said, look, we can't change now. It's $975 million. Okay? Get some pigeons. Attach notes. The notes read, go around it. Like everybody weren't worrying about drilling for oil up in Alaska. The caribou will go around the derricks.